Brent Seale is out this morning. Glad you chose to be here, and hopefully the message I have will help you in your walk with Christ. Hopefully everybody had a great Thanksgiving this too, and had a good time with family and friends, and reminisce about some of the old days. When I was younger, I used to sit there and look at my parents and my grandparents when they talk about old times. I'm like, why are they sitting there talking about this? Now I kind of understand it. You know, as time go on, can't get those times back. So now you just sit back and reminisce about them and laugh about them and enjoy those moments. So for any of y'all that's younger, you know, take it in and enjoy it. And, you know, hold on to those memories, because there's going to come a time where you're going to sit and you're going to talk about them. Those people that you talk about are not there with you. So just take that moment and enjoy it. This moment I wanted to talk about two passages of Scripture and the theme of developing a positive attitude in a negative world. And probably nothing can contribute more to the quality of your life than a positive attitude. And yet sometimes it seems easy to become critical, and we end up focusing on the negative. Consider a wife who bought her husband two neckties. He was so appreciative of them, he immediately went to the bedroom and put one of them on. He came out to show it to her, and she took a look at him wearing the new tie and said, "What's the matter with the other one? Don't you like it too?" So it seemed like you can't do nothing right? Just got to focus on that negative. But please realize, in talking about developing a positive attitude, I'm not talking about looking through life through rose-colored glasses either, and deciding that everything is just fine. There are many things in the world wrong with our world. But yet there are people who will find something good in almost every situation, no matter how negative it might be. I don't know if you heard about the older gentleman who was admitted to a nursing home. Four ladies took an immediate interest in him. The first one said, "You're new here, aren't you?" He said, "Yes, I am." The second one asked, "Where were you at before you came here?" He said, "Well, I did 20 years in prison." The third lady said, "20 years in prison, what did you do?" He said, "I killed my wife." The fourth lady said, "Oh, so that means you're single, huh?" Yeah. You can find something positive in any situation if you look for it, right? Yeah. But I'm not talking about that kind of positive attitude either. Rather, I'm talking about realizing in the midst of all the negatives, there's still so much good in the world and in the church and in our lives. We need to focus on our attention, on the energy, on what is good. Listen to Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." He's saying, one of these days, So the things that dominate our thinking control the words we speak, the attitudes you have, and the way you react to others. Now in 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul talks about the second coming of Jesus. "4:16-18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heavens with a shout, and the voice of the archangels, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." He's saying one of these days the skies will open, the trumpet will blow, and you will hear the voice of the archangels, and you will see Jesus in all his glory. Graves will be open and will be caught up with the Lord. He said if anybody has any reason to be joyful, Christians do, because no matter what happens in this world, we're moving towards something better. We'll have a reunion with our Lord, and he will be with him for all eternity. So we have every reason to be joyful. Then in 1 Thessalonians, he come back to the present. He said, okay, here we are, waiting for the Lord to come. In the meantime, as we wait, how can we develop a positive spirit? And he gives us some very practical suggestions. Paul begins by telling us the best way to develop a positive spirit is having positive attitude towards our spiritual leaders, those who work hard among us, and those who sacrifice time and energy to serve the Lord. We are to respect, honor, and encourage them in what they do for the Lord. In Thessalonians 5, 12, and 13, he says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and all over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love with their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." It is wonderful when the church works together in harmony as we do here, where people love and respect each other. But in the world that begins more and more negative in attitudes, we must be alert to the challenges we face. Right now we're drawing near to the political campaign. I don't know if you watch it or you try to be like me and avoid the television as much as possible, because you don't see nothing but them talking negatively about their opponents. But, you know, as you constantly sit there and listen to that negative talk, they can bleed over into, you know, your work, into the church life. So sometimes we have to be careful of those things that we put our minds to when we sit there and watch. So sometimes we sit there and we listen to it, it can bleed over into our personal lives, into our church life, into our, you know, work life. We won't have to be done that way. Maybe that's why Apostle Paul tells us to respect those who work hard among you. Most of us don't see the work that goes into the church. You know, sometimes we just come here and we just think things happen, but that's not how it works. You know, we have someone that comes and clean the church. We have certain things that keep the yard up, or, you know, that make sure that you know, things are done here that need to be done. You know, we don't see those things sometimes. And then, you know, the person that comes to do them don't do them because they want a pat on the back or they want somebody to say good job or nothing like that. But why do you think they do that? They do it because today and every Sunday, there are people who who need what Jesus is offering: the forgiveness for their sins, the fresh start in life, the fellowship of church family members who loves and cares about them. That's why they do it, because they know it's something bigger, something better out there for us. Often we have people visit, and they form a first impression about us when they come in and they see and hear us. Now, if you're a visitor, please realize in which I'm speaking. I want our time to be special, to lift us closer to God and to each other, to give praise and honor to Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Frankly, I think of visitors observe us more than we think we realize. When they enter into the building, they're not at ease. What they wonder, what is it like inside? What are the people like? What am I supposed to do? Will they even notice me? And if they do, how will I act? And the question goes on and on. I know one of my biggest things is, and I kind of figure it might be yours too, when you walk into a new church, is, am I sitting in somebody's spot? That's real big. You don't want to we all get in our set spots and somebody come in and sit in and it kind of makes us nervous a little bit, like, am I sitting in the right place? But if someone come in and they sit in your spot, don't take it personally. Just, hey, don't let them have that spot and sit somewhere else, you know. Make that very good first impression on them, because they're nervous already when they walk through the door. I hope from the moment that they enter here, they think this is such a warm and friendly and feeling place about this place, and that the people here seem to be nice. While they're so greeting to us. You know, I like the combination of hymns, and that almost everybody joined in the singing and smiles on the people's faces. This was so alive, and yet the worshiping. And then they'll say, what about that preaching? Yeah, what about that preaching? Now, I don't know if they'll be talking about me per se, but, you know, hopefully they'll like the message that we present. Our attitude makes all the difference. And it needs to be a positive attitude, one that projects joy, peace, and harmony. A church that will really loves the Lord and desire to put him first in all things. Now, the second thing we need to develop is a positive and joyful spirit, is to have a positive attitude towards everyone else. Down in verse 14 through 15, it says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort them, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, seeing that none render evil for evil unto any man, but every follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." Excuse me. This is great advice Paul is saying. We need to be positive, not just towards our leaders, but towards each other too. So how well are we doing in that category today? As we got out of our cars, and you know, will we be saying positive things or negative things? When we leave here, will we be saying positive things or negative things? You know, it's all about our minds, it's all about our mentality. Listen again to what Paul wrote. Warn them against the unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient towards all men. We all make mistakes. We all make wrong decisions sometimes. We aren't perfect. So cut some slack. Be patient with one another. If something is wrong, don't pay right wrong with wrong. But always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. That was one of the first things I learned as a child, is to try to be kind, try to be nice. And you know, I know my mom felt like raising three boys. We wasn't really kind to each other. We weren't really nice to each other. It was a handful. I know I was. You know, she tried to instill at us, be kind to each other. Even if, you know, one of us done something to the other, be nice to each other. And that's a trait that we desperately need to be restored in our society today. Paul writes in Colossians 3:12-13, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Now, we don't always do that. If there's things that's going well for us, I'm sorry, I skipped a little bit. The last thing Paul suggested is we develop a positive spirit in positive in all circumstances. Listen, 16 and 18. Back in Thessalonians. "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of the God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now we don't always do that. When things are going good for us, we're joyful. And we pray when crisis arises. And we usually are thankful in November, because that's what Thanksgiving Day is. Come. But Paul says in all circumstances, regardless of what's going on in our lives, we need to be joyful and pray and give thanks. That is an important lesson to learn. No matter what is going on, what our situation is, good or bad, whatever it is, we need to continue to do those things. Be joyful, pray, and give thanks. And I know sometimes when the times get rough and things are always hard to be joyful, but we have to remember what's in store for us. And that we don't necessarily have to be going around smiling and jumping up joyful, but you know, be thankful for what we have and where we at. Because it'll always be worse. Now, there was a young lady who was restricted to a wheelchair. Her hands didn't work the way she would like for them to work, and she was unable to speak clearly, although her mind was as sharp as yours and mine. Her brother Tom would take her to church every Sunday when he was in town. But when he was not there, he would always get one of the preacher wives to bring her to church. And most of the time, it was one preacher's wife who would bring her. Her name was Violet. Her wheelchair had to be placed in the trunk of the car. And as they approached church, both ladies would pray that a handsome young man would come out and, you know, get that wheelchair out of the car for them when they got into the parking lot. And on the day that Violet brought Mary to church, Mary would also eat Sunday dinner with them. And she would tell Violet, "You're a good woman," and she would tell the preacher that you're a good preacher. And kids would love Mary. They would run up to her and throw their arms around her, and she loved them in return. And she always had a wonderful smile on her face. The circumstances of her life wasn't good, but she was always an outstanding example of what Paul talked about. Do you think you could handle her circumstances? Do you think you can deal with the frustration of being in a wheelchair and not being able to communicate your thoughts as clearly and as easily as you are today? And yet Mary had a positive attitude. She loved the Lord, she loved the church, and she loved God's people. So what is our problem today? What is our frustrations? What is hindering us? Could it be not enough money? Or we not feeling well? Or our kids not obeying? Or maybe we just need to rethink our attitude. To remember that when we got up this morning, there was hot water in our hot water heater. When we went to bed last night, there was food there for us to eat before we came to church. We had everything we really needed and a whole lot of things we didn't. We ought to be thankful and joyful and ought to be praised and praying. You know, we read these words from Paul about being positive. It's important to realize that he was not sitting up in a luxury penthouse or in a nice warm house or a nice air-conditioned house. He was sitting possibly in a prison writing these words to us about being positive and joyful and things like that. Think about his situation and where we at now. And I'm not sitting up here, like I said, I'm not looking at life through a row of colored glasses thinking that, oh, yeah, we just need to be just around here just joyful and happy and bobbing all along. I understand we have things that we go through, but we need to reflect on God's word. And that will put it in perspective for where we're at. Because he never guaranteed that we would have the best and we would never have pain. We would always just be happy and joyful. Trials and tribulation will come. It's just a matter of how we handle it. A matter of where we put our mindset at. What do we focus on? Do we focus on the bad? Do we focus on the negative? Or do we try to find some good in it or focus on what we do have? Or what we can change, what we can be happy about, you know? And then just continue to pray, because he tells us to put it on him, and he'll bring us through it. So, do you have a problem with negative attitude this morning? If you do, Jesus is the only one who can help you change this. He can change you inside and out. He can give you the word to speak and a relationship with others to help. He can make it into a person who experienced the fullness of life in Christ and witness his positive to those around you. We can lean up on each other. That's what he put us here for. There's things that some of us are going through that somebody else has been here that's been through it, and they can help us through it. We can lean on each other. We can look at each other for positive. So when you sitting here and you thinking, well, I'm going through this and nobody cares and nobody knows. Somebody sees it. Somebody notices it. And they looking at it like, I want to be like that person. I want to know what they got that makes them come out of this in a positive attitude, have a different look at this instead of being angry, upset, or thinking about, you know, what is going on. They thinking about that positive. And that's because, you know, the Lord has helped you. It's helped me. And that's all I have for this one. If there's anyone that needs prayer in the church, or that's anything that we can do for you, you can come and stand as we sing the song that was selected.